Hello, and thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Helen Poitevin from Gartner, and we're talking about, well, actually, Helen, it's all about the job cuts in the technology sector and how this may or may not be related to artificial intelligence. And I know you've done some research, Helen. What has Gartner found?
Yes. So what we found was that for 350 respondents to a survey who are more advanced in using AI agents, intelligent automation, or autonomous technologies, 80% of them did report some degree of job cuts following their implementation of AI. But those who are getting the most return on investment were not cutting more jobs. And so there's this kind of double message here. One, that yeah, there are job cuts, but the other, that if you're getting more ROI, you're actually not cutting more jobs.
I think we're gonna have to explore that a bit further. I mean, the headlines, and I think Computer Weekly has written some of these stories as well, that if you look at the big tech firms, they are making job cuts, big job cuts, you know, the likes of Oracle and Meta. And one wonders, they are also investing hugely in AI. And for the companies that are not the big tech firms, they may be looking at that and saying, well, if I don't make job cuts, I will be at a disadvantage because these big companies are cutting so much of their workforce, 10% or whatever, and that gives them the finances to power their AI, to buy more technology, which means that they can do even more. And I wonder if that is something that's, you know, CEOs and, you know, the Gartner clients are concerned about.
The belief is there. The belief is there that if we invest in this technology, we somehow have to make the trade-off by decreasing spend on personnel or decreasing spend on headcount, on people. But what our research showed was that that might help cash balances in the short term, but in the long term, the real ROI, those who are getting the most benefit from AI, were actually heavily investing in people. They were much more likely to be building the new skills, creating roles for orchestrating agents, and more likely to be mapping out career paths for people moving forward. And so what we see is that it's actually short-sighted to be thinking this is the trade-off that we have to think about, because we're only thinking about headcount as the form of value instead of thinking much more broadly about value. And so trying to copy what gets stated about these big firms who are going after new forms of value when they're going into AI, it's a core part of their business, and the trade-offs they're making, trying to apply that thinking and believing it's just about productivity and headcount is actually going to hurt them more than would help them in the long run.
I mean, I think one of the things that might concern workers is that as parts of their job get replaced by AI, the pipeline for learning new skills is sort of disappears. You know, if you're starting off in a job, so let's take software developers. You know, it's one that is probably well understood because AI is being used for software development. It is taking over a proportion of work that, you know, potentially would have been done by a junior programmer. Another example might be you're a trainee, solicitor, a lawyer, and the sort of all of the paperwork, all the legal documents that you would have had to look through yourself is being automated. The AI can do that and summarize that. And I wonder if we are losing or breaking that pipeline to help people develop the right skills so that they can work alongside AI going forward.
Well, this is where I would say there's another case of short-sightedness and beliefs in terms of saying, you know, we're going to use AI to essentially replace what these people are doing, and thinking about it more in terms of what goes away and what remains instead of thinking about how are we solving problems or how are we getting to solutions faster. And so what we find in software engineering is that time to solution. So software engineering has always been about understanding a problem and coming up with a software solution to it. Now it's faster to go from problem to solution, and people are getting organized in different ways. But when it's faster to get from problem to solution, we actually want more problem solved and more software solutions. And so those who are looking and creatively looking forward to how they build their future with these more software solutions are definitely doubling down on making sure they have the talent pipeline to enable that and building up the junior software engineers so that they too can go much more quickly from the client problem to the software solution. So it's a bit of a Jevons paradox, and it'll create more demand, actually.
I think you have to explain Jevons paradox. I did come across it a few weeks ago when one of my freelancers talked about Jevons paradox, but what is that?
So Jevons paradox comes out of the industrial era, and it basically says the more efficient you get and the cheaper it gets to produce something, actually there's more demand for it. And so he was talking about like coal and electricity at the time. You get more efficient with it, you actually need to use more. Now we're talking about people, software engineers. You get more efficient in solving problems with software solutions, there's more demand for it, therefore more demand for the people who can do that kind of work.
Is that a similar, I mean, I know that's a sort of economics one, but in a similar, like to the network effect, you know, the sort of Metcalf type thing where, you know, once you roll out the Ethernet card, you create demand for the Ethernet card, and then that's how you develop a massive business for Ethernet connectivity.
Yes, these are the paths to increase demand for things. And so you could say AI makes it easier to run businesses, and so it increases your need to be able to provide really good broadband, for example. So actually, there are these downstream implications that come into play. And that's why we often say AI is less of a replacement effect and more of a creator effect. But you have to make that leap into those areas and see where AI is creating more opportunities. And it's easier to see where it's taking something away because you have to think in those leaps of what's the Jevons effect, that network effect, and downstream.
But it's also changing the types of job roles. I mean, just look at the construction industry, the construction of data centers. And I mean, I've been hearing that the sort of plumbers and electricians who are working in Silicon Valley or wherever to do data centers are being, you know, they can command absolutely huge salaries. There's nothing wrong with a plumber and electrician, but they, you know, they're very skilled people, yet their skill now is in, you know, these HVAC systems and the electrical networks for distribution networks for powering this fundamental piece of infrastructure that we are now going to rely on.
Correct. That's a very good example of one of those effects where we're accelerating investment in AI. It gets somewhat cheaper, although I think there are going to be more and more debates around cost of AI, but somewhat cheaper, and that increases demand around the data centers, which trickles down to needing electricians. And so looking at these kind of effects helps shore up that perspective that we've shared before, that AI really isn't going to be a huge replacer of jobs. It's not going to create that jobs apocalypse. It will actually end up creating more jobs than it replaces or displaces.
I mean, can you share any more of the research? What else did you look at when you in the survey that you did?
Certainly. So in the survey, we were looking at organizations that were much further ahead in applying AI and AI agents in particular in their work, and looking at how they were applying it across different factors, augmenting the workforce, autonomous operations. These kinds of things are the most common. And then seeing what that meant from a workforce perspective was part of the survey, as well as return on investment. And so really the biggest finding here is that while people were cutting costs to the operations where those agents were put in place. So it could be small operations, and we might say 15% of a team. That's very different from 15% of the total workforce. But 15% of a team, up to 15%, really being being cut, at least temporarily. But that, again, did not correlate with the return on investment. And we categorized based on the type of return and the volume of returns that were reported, the laggards and the leaders. And those leaders were definitely not increasing their headcount reductions, but they were definitely increasing their returns.
What does Gartner advise its clients, IT leaders, CEOs, who have to convince the workforce that AI is not going to take away their jobs?
So there are different ways to help convince the workforce, because actually, thinking of this back to a previous question you had as well, employees don't fear that much being replaced by AI. What they fear is that their executive team believe they can be replaced by AI, because the executives will believe that and they'll take action on it because they don't want to be proven wrong. And so because executives don't want to be proven wrong, it's actually a very challenging space for CIOs and IT leaders to navigate, because they can't just say, see the data, it's not happening. They can, but they have more confidence than saying, let's make sure we're looking at the whole value picture. Let's make sure that when we're thinking about the value we're getting from AI, that time to product, that time to solution is actually moving the needle from a competitive differentiation perspective, going after new revenue sources, driving down costs, and promoting growth. So you have a broader return on investment and a broader value beyond just headcount. And so I consistently, and my colleagues consistently advise CIOs and IT leaders to make sure that they're telling the whole value story and they're not restricting it to a headcount story.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much, Helen. And thank you very much for tuning in. You can find the full article on www.computerweekly.com and the podcast on iTunes and Amazon Music.